Hello, this is Michael Steve from Kaplan Financial, and in this podcast I'd like to have a look at some inheritance tax issues. As AAT members, we are sometimes asked to comment on IHT matters, and so it's important that we make sure we understand the issues and we advise within our competencies. IHT is payable on death and on some lifetime gifts. It's paid to the extent that the value of the estate or a gift is more than the nil rate band, and that is £325,000 in the current tax year 09-10. It's at a single rate of 40%, and that often causes people to moan, and it's paid, let's talk about estates here, above the nil rate band, and it's normally paid by the executor from the deceased's estate. So if they leave a house for £1 million, it's the excess above £325,000, taxable at 40%, comes out of the estate. And if there's no other money in the estate, it sometimes means that the house will be sold in order to meet that. Although, having said that, there are some rules which allow, in respect of property, for the IHT to be spread, with interest, as you'd expect, over a 10-year period. If there are trusts involved, then the trustees may have to pay the inheritance tax. Here, say, when a second wife is allowed to live in the house after her husband's death, and on her death, because she lives in the house and perhaps unfairly it's regarded as part of her estate. So in those circumstances, the trustees will pay the tax. That's the trustees of the trust under which the second wife was allowed to live in the house. The reason for these sorts of trusts is simple. It's to allow second wives to live in houses and not to own them, so that the children of the first marriage, now almost certainly adults, will be allowed to benefit from the capital, that is the house itself, in due course. Just sometimes it's the recipient of a lifetime gift that will have to cough up some tax. And this can happen when the donor, that's the giver of a gift, dies within 7 years of making it. And not surprisingly, people try and avoid IHT on death by making lifetime gifts. Let's have a look at some of these potential lifetime gifts. Some gifts can be made in both life and death, and a good example of that is a gift to a husband, a wife, or a civil partner. Gifts to UK charities and some museums and political parties are also under that rule. So some of these gifts, although we're principally here talking about lifetime gifts, are exempt from IHT, regardless of whether they're made in life or death. But let's have a look at some specific lifetime gifts. The first up here, of course, is the annual exemption. And you can give away gifts worth up to £3,000 in each tax year, and these will not be charged to IHT. They're going to be exempt. And the nice thing about the annual exemption is that if you don't use it in 1 year, it can be carried forward for 1 year only. So the outcome of this is, let's have an example here. Supposing Granny wants to start giving away some gifts to her family, her children and her grandchildren, she can do so by having £6,000 in the first year, that's the current year of three, plus the bought forward not used, and then from that year onwards, £3,000 per annum. Another example of an exempt lifetime gift are the classic wedding gifts, now of course extended to civil partner ceremony gifts. Parents can give cash or gifts up to £5,000. Grandparents and other relatives can each give cash gifts up to £2,500. And anyone else can give cash or gifts worth up to £1,000. Remind yourself too that you actually have to make the gift or promise to make it shortly before the date of the wedding or the ceremony. And if the ceremony is called off and you still make the gift, then the exemption won't apply. Another small lifetime gift, which is quite useful, is the so-called small gifts exemption. and you can make small gifts up to £250 per annum to as many people as you like. What you can't do, though, is to give a larger gift and claim the first £250. Oh, and by the way, you can't use your small gifts allowance together with any other exemption when you're giving it to the same person. So you couldn't give £3,000 to one of your godchildren and then £250 on top of that. The £250 is normally for, let's look at another example here, granny giving Christmas presents and birthday presents to her grandchildren. Another lifetime gift, exempt from IHT, are regular payments that are part of your normal expenditure. So any regular gifts made out of normal income are going to be regarded as exempt for IHT. Now note here, please, that there's not any absolute limit. Clearly, if your name is Alan Sugar, you'll be able to give much greater normal background gifts than if you were a more normal person on a UK salary of around about £24,000 a year. Two very different things. But the rule is in principle the same for both. Another lifetime gift, which sometimes confuse people, are the so-called PETS rules. That stands for Potentially Exempt Transfers. And this, very simply, is any gift made by one individual to another individual. And these gifts, these PETS, are potentially exempt when they're given. They become fully exempt if the donor survives a full 7 years from the date of the gift. But if they die within 7 years, and the total value of the gifts is less than the inheritance tax threshold, that's the nil rate band, currently £325,000, then the value of the gift simply added to your estate and any tax paid as normal. But if you die within 7 years of making a gift, and the gift is more than the £325,000, then tax may be due, and it will need to be paid by the donee of the gift, that's the recipient of the gift. But there is some measure of relief. If you survive at least 3 years from the date of a gift, then the total value is reduced on a sliding scale, and that's known as taper relief. Generally speaking, gifts into trust are chargeable. They used to be exempt, but since 2006, when the rules were changed for IHT purposes, then they're generally chargeable. And where they are chargeable, because they're above the nil rate band, they will be charged at half the death rates. That is a half of 40, not surprisingly, 20%. A question that is often asked is how to pass on homes to children or other members of the family in a tax-efficient way. Not surprisingly, for most people, the value of the home is the principal value of their estate, and so giving it away tax-free becomes important for a large number of people. For IHT purposes, giving your home away, of course, is treated as a gift, and normally speaking, we're going to try and do this in lifetime if we possibly can, and try and get away with avoiding IHT. Now, there are a couple of things you need to be aware of. The first is the 7-year rule. If mother makes an outright gift of a house to her daughter, then we need to make sure that she survives 7 years before the gift becomes fully exempt. If mum dies within 7 years of the gift, then there will be tax payable by the daughter, that is the donee of the gift, although there's a sliding scale of relief, which we've just referred to, called taper relief. A question that's often asked, and there's not a very nice answer, is can I give my house to my children and still continue to live there? Well, you can do that, of course. But the short answer for IHT is that it is not exempt from inheritance tax. That is known as a gift with reservation of the benefit. You're reserving the benefit of living there unto yourself, and the gift won't be exempt for IHT, even if you live for 7 years afterwards. There is one way around this, though. You can give away your house to your children and continue to live in it as long as you pay a market rent to the new owner. But you might want to remember that if you do pay a market rent to the owner, probably your children, then they are going to be taxed to income tax on the value of the money received. So there's a usual tax implications here. As one lever goes up, the other one goes down. There are two sides to it. You could, of course, sell your home and give the money to your children. And if that happens, then the seven-year rule applies again. That's not a problem at all. The only time you have got a potential problem is that if you were to sell the house and give them the money and they were to build a granny annex on the side of their house and you moved into that, then that again would be regarded as taxable, because not under the gift with reservation of benefit rules, but under the pre-owned asset rules. And again, you can get around that by paying a market rent. One point about lifetime gifts, especially gifts of property. If you make lifetime gifts, you not only have to consider the inheritance tax angles, but you also have to consider the capital gains tax angles as well. If you give cash as a potentially exempt transfer, there's no CGT implications, simply because under the TCGA, that's the Taxation of Chargeable Gains Act, cash is not chargeable. But a home is chargeable. And if mother gives away a house, say she has a portfolio of domestic houses and she gives one of them to each of her children, then she is making disposals for CGT purposes. And you will have to consider the CGT as well as the IHT. If mother, say, leaves a house to a daughter and she's been living in there, then yes, there is a disposal, but it's almost certain that she will be covered by the principal private residence relief. Finally, I want to think about transferring an unused inheritance tax nil rate band. You'll probably be aware that because most people have value in their property only, under the joint tenancy rules, if, say, mum dies, her half of the house automatically passes to dad, and her nil rate band is wasted. So when dad duly dies, he has only got one nil rate band, the $325,000 in the current year, and therefore he has to pay quite a lot more inheritance tax because mum wasn't able to use hers. Now, for quite a few years, people have tried to get around that rule with a very simple device. It costs about £1,000, and that's to change the ownership of the house from joint tenancy to tenants in common, and then to leave their halves respectively to either children directly or, more normally, a trust. Now, I'm delighted to say that since October 2007, you no longer have to go through that double trust system, and you can simply transfer any unused inheritance tax threshold from a late spouse or indeed a civil partner to the second spouse or civil partner when they die. So let's have a look at a classic mum and dad situation. If dad dies first and they are on joint tenancy, then mum automatically takes the rest, and at that moment you waste dad's nil rate band. But when mum duly dies, she can claim not only hers in her estate, but also dad's, to the extent that it was unused. So £325,000 in 2009-10 could be doubled to £650,000. And that's likely to cover most houses in the UK. It's important to remember, though, on this threshold, that the threshold can only be transferred on the second death. But it is an important point, as I said, because most people's value in estates is in their houses alone. Right, well, there you go, folks. That's just a look at some of the IHT issues. I will, of course, return to IHT a little bit later in the year with some podcasts, but I think that'll do for the moment. Cheerio.